You've finally reached hour two, my friends, and one thing has become insanely clear. Whatever exists at Misawa Air Base does not behave like a typical haunting. These encounters, they don't linger passively. They don't fade with the daylight. They watch, they respond, and sometimes they follow. As Christine and Rob Watts recount, security police didn't just witness anomalies, they were acknowledged by them. We'll find out about UFO sightings synchronized with patrol routes, entities appearing in restricted zones as if they were testing the boundaries. And this wasn't random, and it wasn't accidental. Tonight, we explore the experiences that pushed trained military personnel to the edge of belief. The moments when fear replaced skepticism and silence became survival. Because at Misawa, the question is no longer if something is here. It's why is it choosing now to reveal itself? Joining me again on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Christine and Rob Watts. Christine is the author of the book, The Ghosts of Misawa Air Base and Other Phenomena, True Stories of the Paranormal. We have a link for that on today's program guide. Don't just buy the book, read it, then rate and review it. It takes you 8 seconds of your time to do that on your booksellers, and that goes a long way to help out our guests. Let's dive back into this. I know before the break, Rob, you were starting to tee up a story. Let's back it up a little bit, reset, and take us into that next element of this tale.
Okay. I was working a shift, and it was middle of the week, so we didn't really expect a whole lot. I always work nights. I prefer nights. Didn't really expect a whole lot going on. And the security side, flight chief, tech sergeant, came up and said, "Hey, as long as everything stays quiet," he said, "we're going to go, me and the captain are going to go pull an exercise on his security people up at Security Hill." He said, "If you want to get involved, get the dog out, you know, play around." He said, "You know, just be up there if you're not busy." I said, "Yeah, absolutely." I said, "As long as nothing's going on, I'll be up there." So he told me about what time. So about that time, I go shoot up Security Hill. I'm waiting to hear the radio calls because once, you know, he's testing his people. And I don't really hear anything going on. And I'm like, okay, this is, you know, they're never this late. What's going on? And I parked kind of where I figured he'd come out. And I see the captain come out. And then the tech sergeant right behind him out of a washout through some woods. So I parked and I get out and I'm like, what's going on? And the captain, you know, motioned me to come over away from him. And he goes, "He just saw something." I'm like, "What do you mean? Person, place, thing? What are we talking about?" He goes, "I don't know, but he won't talk about it." He said, "Look at him. He's white as a ghost." I'm like, "All right, let me go talk to him." Because I'd been there for several years. I knew both of them really well. So I went and talked to him. And I said, "What did you see?" He said, "Nothing. We need to get out of here." I said, "No." I said, "I've got my dog." My dog was known to be over-aggressive. "We can go find whatever it was. You know, what did you see? Where were you at?" Would not tell me. Later, toward the end of the shift, you know, we're back at the station. He calls me and he says, "Here's what I saw." So he starts telling me that they're creeping up the washout. They're trying to be quiet. You know, they're trying to be stealthy to sneak up on a post. And he said he kept the captain's on his butt. And he said, "You know, why is he right on my butt? We need, you know, we can space out a little bit." And he's like, "Captain, get off my butt," for lack of a better word. And he said he didn't hear anything. He said they creep some more. And he said, you know, about the third time, he turned around. He's like, "Jesus, captain, get off my butt." And he said, "When the cam," I said, "What'd you see?" He said, "I'm not crazy." I said, "I've known you a long time. I've been here." I said, "What'd you see?" He describes a samurai warrior, full armor, sword sticking out the back, you know, the mask, the helmet, the whole nine yards. And he said, "I'm looking at him." This was a big guy. He was probably about 6'2", 6'3". He said, "As I said, I'm staring him in the eyes." He said, "I look all the way down." And he said, "There's nothing from the waist down." And I'm like, "Ew. So you finally saw one, huh?" And he's like, "We're not going out there again." I said, "We've all seen something out there." I said, "You're not alone." I said, "I haven't seen the samurai, but we've all seen something out there." And he was white as a ghost, though. I mean, this is a man who had been in combat, and this scared the crap out of him, whatever it was, his samurai. And then she found out that there's more to that story.
There's a local legend out in that area that is...
For people just tuning in, the she is Christine Watts, Rob's wife. Let's make sure we reset for newer listeners. Yes, his honey, Christine. All right, Christine, what is your side of the story then?
Well, the local legend that I had heard after this was that if you were to see half of a samurai soldier, that is a omen of foretelling of death coming. Mm. The curious thing is after I wrote the book, I was thinking, you know, I wonder whatever happened to, you know, Tech Sergeant so-and-so, and looked it up, and I found out that less than 10 years after that incident, he passed away in his 40s. Then his only son passed away, it was 13 years after he passed away at the age of 39, and then his only son passed away the next year after that.
Wow.
In his 20s.
So this haunting legacy of perhaps seeing a portend of death, wraith, a haint, if you will. Wow, that's... Now, for some people, you're going to say, well, it was 10 years later. You know, cancer, car accidents, things like that happen. But that it does seem to be following the genealogical trail. I mean, was each death dramatically different in a different way as opposed to, you know, not just they all had an acute heart issue or genetic anomaly?
I believe that the tech sergeant that we knew passed away from an illness. But his son, I believe it was probably self-inflicted. Oh. And then his son, the grandson of the man we knew, I don't know how he passed away.
But a family curse nonetheless. That's tragic. We've got 2 minutes left in this segment. I'm just curious, aside from human-like characteristics of these creatures and beings, you know, dressed in samurai gear and things, did you ever see anything monstrous? Bigfoot, Dogman, dragons. I don't know. What do you have going in Japan?
Not me, but we did have someone who described a shadow blob that actually dove off one of the bunkers in a secure area called, it's NIMS, a non-nuclear munition storage area. Mm-hmm. We also called it the bomb dump. And it actually dented in the hood of his patrol car and then disappeared. And no one...
A black mass.
He said it was just like a big black blob that he saw coming. He was at the top of the bunker, and as he was driving by, all of a sudden it just dove off the top and hit his hood and then disappeared.
Wow.
And the only evidence was the dent in the hood.
That's pretty good evidence. Yeah, I would say that.
Well, it scared him so bad he chambered around into his M16 and called for help.
All right, we're going to take our break, folks. Stay tuned. We've got more to discuss. And when the hauntings stop just being about the place you work and live, but start following you, what is that like? Ghosts of Misawa Air Base and other phenomena. True stories of the paranormal. Christine Watts, the author of that book. We'll discuss that and more right here on your home for the paranormal. I'm Dave Schrader. This is our Paranormal 360. There's a place in central Minnesota where history, hospitality, and mystery come together under one roof. Welcome to the Palmer House Hotel, Restaurant, and Pub in Sauk Center, Minnesota, located at 500 Sinclair Lewis Avenue. Whether you're planning a weekend getaway, a family dinner, or a paranormal adventure, the Palmer House offers delicious food, a welcoming pub, cozy rooms, and stories that go back generations. I'm Dave Schrader. I'm the new owner and caretaker of this historic hotel, and my goal is simple: to preserve the past while creating a place where everyone feels at home, both the living and the departed. Yes, we are haunted, but we're also warm, inviting, and proud to be part of this community. So come explore the history, enjoy a great meal, and raise a glass with us. Book your stay or learn more at thepalmerhousehotel.com or call right now 320-351-9100 to make your reservation. That's 320-351-9100. And don't forget to follow the Palmer House Hotel on Facebook, the Palmer House Hotel, where history lives and memories are made. Welcome back to the program. Joining me on the air right now, we've got a fascinating interview going. Christine and Rob Watts are here sharing their details of the strange phenomena that they both witnessed and saw unfold at Misawa Air Base. What is so enchanting to me about this is that there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to any specific element of this. We've kind of talked about the amorphous blob-like thing that was seen. You've talked about these shadowy figures, almost ninja-like in movement, that are able to traverse areas that they shouldn't be able to, razor glass and bramble and fences, and they're able to get around. You've seen a portend of death. You've seen the harbinger of a half-samurai spirit making its presence known. Well, you haven't, but some of the people that you knew, I witnessed this and met with tragic fates throughout the generations going forward. Talk to me about the fact that we're hearing now, especially with disclosure in the air, that more and more military personnel are coming out about UAP, UFO phenomena taking place near these bases. How often did that take place near Misawa?
I had an incident that the only thing I can describe is it's a possible UAP, UFO. It was not only experienced by me that night, but also by another airman. We were at the same post. This was in the NIMSA, the bomb dump area. But we were in two different locations at the time. His job was to man the alarms and the phones in the entry control point building. And my job as K-9 was to be out in the bomb dump area, checking the bunkers, making sure buildings, facilities, bunkers are locked, everything's good to go. I was out there, and at one point I got tired, and so I backed up my truck against one of the bunkers. And after a while, I started feeling a little bit sleepy because it was really cold at night, so I had the heater on in the truck, and my dog was sleeping in the back. And next thing I know, I heard a hum, and I was like, wow, that's, you know, something different. I'd never heard that before. And it kept getting louder and louder and louder until I could see my dog in the rearview mirror. All of a sudden, he's perking up because at this time I had a different dog. And it got so heavy with vibration at one point, I couldn't figure out, is it coming from outside? Is it inside? Is there something wrong with my truck? I knew no one was flying that night, but did they all of a sudden decide to start flying, you know, the fighter jets? Were they testing engines? I didn't know. So I, you know, unrolled my truck window and, you know, couldn't see anything. And at one point it got so deafening that I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck is going on? And then it's like someone flipped a switch. Just at the snap of a finger, everything stopped and everything was completely quiet and still. Mm. And it was as if that quiet was too quiet to me. So as I'm pondering this, wondering, okay, what the heck's going on? Because this is in the middle of the night, in the wee hours of the morning. All of a sudden behind me, I see something silently, a huge shadow go across the back of the bunk, or the front of the bunker, which is behind me. So I whip around to look. I don't see anything. While I'm trying to figure out what that is, all of a sudden the shadow shoots across the top of the truck. And at that point, I'm like, I got to get out of here. So I go back to the ECP, the entry control point. I don't know what I'm going to say to the airman that's sitting inside there. And I decide by the time I step in, I'm not saying anything. But my hands are shaking really bad at this point. And so he's like, oh, are you cold? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to play it off and everything. But as we're driving home that morning or back to the our headquarters, he said, something happened to me last night. And I just knew, I knew he had a similar experience. And I said, okay. I was like, something happened to me too. And he goes, he's talking real quietly, like he's afraid someone's going to overhear. And he's like, you know, because you don't want to be a cop on the rubber gun club where they take away your service weapon, put you under a psych eval, you know. And he said, you go first and then I'll tell you mine. So I told him what happened to me. And then he told me that while he was on the phone, which he wasn't supposed to be with his girlfriend back in the United States, he said at one point he kept seeing a shadow flying over. And he thought, oh, maybe it's just that it was really windy that night. So he thought it was a huge tree that we had back behind the ECP, you know, just casting a shadow. He put the phone down at one point, went out and looked, and he realized the shadow's being cast in the opposite direction. So he gets back on the phone, and all of a sudden, he realizes that there's a huge shadow moving across the entire building. It's not coming from along the ground as something casting the shadow. It's coming from above, and it's huge, and he hears a hum. So he puts down the phone again, runs outside, and it just shoots, takes off into the air. And then he said at that point, he said he was just scared to death. He didn't know what he was dealing with. He went back, told his girl that he had to get off the phone, and he spent the rest of the night worried what I was going to think if he told me about this crazy thing that happened. And the only thing that I could think of is not paranormal, but something from the sky.
Something man-made or something unknown origin?
I don't know. I think it was, had to have been UFO, UAP, something, because of the hum and then the silence when it moved, because I didn't see the shadows when the hum was going on. But after the hum was over, all of a sudden it's like a silent shadow just swooping across. And he
but
told
that
me
would come after the sound of the hum.
Yes.
Interesting. It almost makes you wonder, is there a sense that something was flying there, but it had already passed you? And this is almost like a sound refraction and light refraction of that shadow of whatever it was, as though something couldn't be as hidden as the craft it was at that time.
Right.
Wow. This is good stuff. Christine and Rob Watts sharing their secrets, getting me all excited about the weirdness of the world out there. And I love when people can come forward like this and they've got the provenance and background pedigree that they do. Ghosts of the ghosts of Misawa Air Base and other phenomena, true stories of the paranormal. Christine Watts, the author of that book. Watch for today's program guide to find the book and order it yourself. We'll be back with more right after this. Every once in a while, you get guests that come on board and you think 2 hours is just not going to be enough time. I feel like we need to sit down with these people for about 3 weeks. And I'm pretty sure that all of us are going to just build bunkers in our backyard and never leave again. That's my vibe after talking to them about the type of things they witnessed. What about you, Rob? Did you ever see strange phenomena, strange lights in the sky yourself?
As far as lights, I mean, not particularly. I don't know why. You know, I was out in the same places. I spent many hours, many days out in the woods.
Listen, cut the politics with me, Rob. Don't give me, well, lights? No. So what did you see in the skies? I demand to know the truth.
Oh, I tell you, trust me. I'm not, I don't care. No, I never really saw anything like that. Mine was always more of the paranormal. You know, our house on base, when we got married, people would come over there just for the experience.
Yeah.
I mean, our house was nuts. We had two dogs. Poor dogs were schizophrenic. They would go in the bathroom and didn't want to come out.
Mm-hmm. Now, are these the trained dogs that you were taking out on patrol? No, these were just idiot dogs that...
These were my house dogs, my little mutts.
Gotcha.
But they'd come out, look around, and shoot back in the bathroom. I mean, our house was crazy.
Yeah.
I had patrolmen, young patrolmen, because I spent almost 7 years there. So toward the end, I was kind of one of the old men of the group. And I'd have young patrolmen that knew where I live, and they would drive by at night just to see if they'd see anything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they'd say, is your wife up? They're like, 3 a.m? Were you crazy? They're like, well, there was some lady staring out the window. We saw her. Well, yeah, doesn't mm-hmm. surprise me. I mean, we have audio that we had captured from a
lady. Or what?
I would say.
We call it, well, we used to call her the mother and son ghost because there was two of them. Mm-hmm. Our oldest child, who was really little at the time, she was born in Nisawa. She called the mother dead cold mama, which is a word we had never taught her. It was dead. But she said dead cold mama, and she called the little boy the bad boy.
Now, are you saying dead cold?
Yes, mama? C-O-L-D. Okay.
And she would have
a little bit of accent in there, sounded like cult. I was like, dead cold mama, what the hell have you guys gotten yourselves into?
And she would never be able to put that together. I mean, yeah, she was little. Lion King had just come out. And when, you know, he died, it was like, oh, he went night-night, you know? So she didn't even have the concept of dead, much less put dead and cold together. Mm-hmm. That was weird. But the house was just crazy. She can tell you all that.
So you had this mother spirit and a child spirit. What? Yes. And you said the child was naughty. In what sense?
We don't know, because the EVPs that we caught of the little boy, he sounds happy. He wants to play, and he used to play with the toys.
Now, were they speaking English or speaking Japanese?
That was the weird part. Yes. On the EVP, they're speaking English. And him, Rob and a staff sergeant were talking about it at work one day, and one of the civilian guards, who they're Japanese, was overhearing the conversation, and they were like, well, it has to be an American ghost because she's speaking English. And he goes, what makes you think she's not Japanese? And they're like, well, because she's speaking English. And he said, well, do you understand Japanese? And Rob said, no. And he goes, well, then that's why she's speaking English. We don't know. Being law enforcement, we're used to not just jumping to conclusions. Oh, you know, it's this or that. We try to look at things logically and try to find out where, you know, what the story is. So we asked everybody, what was out there before the housing was out there? Because the housing at the time in the area that we lived in was only 6 years old. What was there? According to everybody, nothing. It was just woods. So then a babysitter of ours had been one of the very first families to move into that area. And we asked her, did an American lady and her child die at any point? And she looked at us like, you know, we're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but she answered us and she said, no, she says there's never been a death out here that she knew of. So we never understood why and who. Other than the only thing I could think of is that they followed our daughter in, because we were in that house when she was born. And it was right before she was born, when we were setting up her nursery, that's when the things started happening. And at first, when things are moving, the rocking chair's moving, the baby swing is swinging on its own, toys are playing without batteries, because, you know, these were brand new. We hadn't put batteries in them yet. And we're still trying to apply logic. Even though I've been seeing ghosts all my life, I'm like, oh, you know, things are moving because we have earthquakes all the time. It's an earthquake. Or, you know, the coldness of the room. That room stayed icy year round. And I had CE, which was
civil engineering,
would come over and I'd be like, you know, come fix our heater in here. And they're looking at it and they're like, there's nothing wrong with it. And that room just stayed icy the whole time. Our dogs would not go in that room where the nursery was at. There was one place in our living room that they always would stop in their tracks and stare. And it wasn't until I put a hanging pothos plant in that corner that I would notice the plant was swinging. Again, I'm saying, oh, it's just, you know, earthquake. Until the one day the toys were playing and I went in. And I was like, oh, I need to shut this thing off. And I flip it over and it's already in the off switch. And I'm like, oh, I better take the batteries out before this wears down, before the baby comes. Pop open the back and there's no batteries in it. And then that's when I finally got it. And that's when I finally told, okay, I don't know who you are, but knock it off. Stop it. And the more I challenged the more aggressive the mother became.
Did you ever end up seeing her yourself, either one of you?
We never saw her, but an airman that he was on patrol with that night, he was, who was driving? You were.
I was driving.
He was driving, and the airman was the one that saw her in the window. And he said, he goes, there's a woman in your window. And he said, the shade's up. And Rob's like, which window? So they swing back around because it was a big cul-de-sac. And they look up and he points at the window that was to our dining room. And he said, it was that window and the shade was just up. He said, that was weird. He said, because the shade was down, there's nobody there. He says, but I swear, I just saw somebody there. And that's the same area that our daughter saw, because she was only 2 years old at the time when she first saw the dead cold mama. And she was walking from her bedroom into the dining room. All of a sudden she stopped and she starts whimpering and coming up to me and wanting to be held. And I said, what's wrong? Because she's shaking. And she said, dead cold mama. And I said, and she goes, in the bad boy. I said, where? And she points to that window. And so she saw everybody. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people saw her, but yet we just experienced her.
Or heard her. You would
hear her. Or heard her. Oh, she was very in your face. Yeah.
So you would hear her out loud.
Yes.
DVP, direct voice phenomena.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her favorite thing was to shuffle in our bedroom along the carpet.
Okay.
She would pace up and down my side of the bed constantly. And the more I told her to knock it off, the more louder she would get.
Well, we now know the name of my next industrial rock band, Dead Cold Mama and the Naughty Boy. We're going to take our break. We'll come back. We've got one more segment together. Christine and Rob Watts, our guests, freaking us out effectively on the Paranormal 360. Okay, Darklings, who's up for a trip to the Misawa Air Base with me? I think we should just head down there. Christine and Rob Watts, our guests, spent many years there and experienced a full spectrum of strange activity. Are any of the higher-ups off the record admitting to you this place is crazy?
That's the weird thing. When I first wrote the book and it came out, you know, of course I'm telling everybody, and we're still in touch with so many people from Misawa. I got a lot of kidding, like, oh, yeah, you saw ghosts, you know. And then recently, though, a lot of them have been coming out and say, oh, yeah, I had experiences there, too. And it's
so there'll be a part two to the book?
I am writing the second book.
Oh, nice. It's the psychic ability I'm picking up just listening to you two. All right.
What you have to kind of remember, though, is this. Well, for me, it was the late 80s. Yeah. And then for us, it was the early 90s. Things in the military were still a lot different. In fact, one guy I worked with, I love him to death. We were talking about it, and he was like, he wanted to come to the house. He wanted to put baby powder all over the room, you know, floors. And I'm like, listen, I got to live there. Come on. And then he said, let me call the base psychiatrist. I'm like, what for? He said, let's see what they got. So I'm standing there, and he calls me psychiatrist, and he goes, do you have a parapsychologist on staff? The lady, whoever answered's like, a what? He goes, a parapsychologist. And she goes, we have a lot of psychologists. He goes, no. Somebody who specializes in parapsychology. She goes, well, what is that? He said, that's the study of, you know, ghosts or other, you know, spiritual phenomena. Her voice changed. Are you seeing ghosts? He's like, that's not what I'm asking. Do you feel the ghosts are following you? I was like, just hang that up before they figure out who's calling. So you still had to be very careful.
Yes.
What you said, who you said it to. But I can tell you probably 90% of the cops saw something.
Yeah.
I would guarantee it, because they would all tell you little by little as they got a little more comfortable with you, you know, and you would hear it through, you know, the young guys talking. And I would venture to say probably at least 90% saw something.
At the time, it's not only the time period where people weren't as open, because a lot of people didn't understand. Thanks to TV shows now and radio shows and everything, it's more accepted and talked about. Mm-hmm. Also, you have to remember, we're law enforcement. We had to have credibility. We had to be able to testify in court and have that credibility intact. If you did not have that, because you're the person who sees ghosts and everything, that could tank your career right there.
And I'm still in the law enforcement world. I'll tell you after if you want. But
yes, of course. I'd love more. Fascinating. All right. Things following you. Talk to us a little bit about those stories.
As far as...
Well, as we said, you know, I mean, that these things weren't just in one area. They weren't just doing it, but people felt like they were being followed. They felt as though this haunting didn't just contain itself to the Misawa Air Base, right? When you moved away eventually, did you still feel as though things were...
Oh, yes. We have things going on in this house. I mean, it has been almost every single place I have ever lived. And I think it's probably because I am so open and intuitive to these things that, you know, somebody who was here before may never have had experience, but I can see, I can hear. When we moved to South Carolina, right after Misawa, we had a lot of experiences there. You know, it seems to follow. Like I said, it's a generational thing for me. And it's something that...
You were steeped in that for quite a few years. So it's right. Like you almost, you vibrated at that frequency for so long that you have become a tuning fork to the supernatural.
Right.
Rob, do you find yourself as open now? Do you have more activity now because of your experiences over there?
I blame her. I mean, I laugh, but I mean, we have things that happen here and I just go, it doesn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen shadow people in this house. I just go, yeah, that's normal for here. You know, it almost doesn't faze me anymore. Mm-hmm. Misawa probably so conditioned me that, I mean, because it got really bad for a while in Misawa. I mean, really, I mean, we had a potted plant that she had to sit on her butt and push with her feet.
It was That's so heavy.
Heavy it was. We're sitting there watching TV one night and it slides out 6 feet. And you're like, mm-hmm. Okay. You know, my dogs were schizophrenic. They had left to go back to the States and I was still there till I could out process. And the mama was coming in the room. I could not get any sleep. She kept coming in, going out, coming in. I was like, Jesus. I finally said, can you stop it? She came in again and she hollered Heather, which was my oldest daughter's name. I jumped out of bed, said, okay, I'm awake. And it was just so bad there that here it's just like, yeah, that's normal.
Did you call Heather to make sure Heather was okay? Was this some kind of warning or just?
Okay, so he calls and the time difference between Japan and California, you know, is a big difference. And so we had been out shopping and he had called right after that incident. And when we came back, it was on my mother's answering machine. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I missed you. You know, well, I guess I'll call you guys later. And you hear the click of the receiver being hung up back up on the phone. Remember those days, the old phones?
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you hear a voice, like a sing-song voice of a woman coming on, said, bye-bye. At that same moment that you hear her say that, our daughter was walking into my parents' bedroom. And all of a sudden, her face just drained of all color as she started crying and saying, dead cold mama, dead cold mama. She recognized the voice.
And I didn't hear that at all.
Yeah, he never heard that. But my mom kept that message on her answer. She kept the answer machine, everything, all these years.
Well, the stories from Misawa Air Base don't end with reassignment orders or plane tickets home, my friends. For many, the memories followed into dreams, into silence, and into years of unanswered questions. Through the experiences shared by Christine and Rob Watts, we're reminded these were not people searching for ghosts. They were trained professionals doing their jobs, documenting what they saw and struggling to reconcile it with everything they believed about reality. The ghost of Misawa Air Base isn't just about spirits, UFOs, or unexplained phenomena. It's about what happens when certainty collapses, when training fails, and when logic has no place to stand. And perhaps most unsettling of all, what if these encounters weren't meant to frighten, but to observe us in return? Tonight we leave Misawa, but whatever lives there remains, hopefully, watching and waiting. Sleep well, my friends, if you can. Thank you for tuning in to the Paranormal 360.